what are we talking about tonight then?
Well,
you're listening to the Power Gold Podcast, bringing you the latest tips, tricks, and strategies for making gold in World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Jim Youngkin. And now, on with the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Power Word Gold Podcast, episode number 69. I'm Jim Youngkin, along with our guest, Nev. Hello, Nev.
Hi, Jim. Hi, everybody.
So let's actually jump right into the show. Let's see. Nev.
Yes.
Jim. We know who you are. I know who you are. let's start out with just a little bit of you, and then afterwards we'll talk about where people can find more from you, and then we'll jump into the show. So for people who don't know, Nev is like how do you describe it? Matronly figure, not matronly, that makes you sound like the inspiration, one of the
I'm the old lady of gold blogging, come on.
Nev was the first person, has the auspicious what do you call it, it was the first person to ever leave a comment on my blog, I do believe. So that's Nev, you've been blogging about gold at ahaddict.blogspot.com since the 20th of December, 2010.
Yeah, 2.5 years now.
And you, by the way, have been on the podcast at least 5 times. At least when I counted. So the first, I'm going to name off the episodes for people so that if they want to go back, they can catch Nev. Your first time on the podcast was episode number 9, which was released May 17th, 2011. That was just a month after or so after the show started. I think the show started in April. You were on podcast episode number 13, number 15, number 38, and the last show you were on was episode 47, which was October 25th, 2012.
Wow, so, hey, that's nearly 8 months. We're slacking.
Sorry. So, yeah, Nev, you've been blogging longer than me, about 2 months. But both of us have been blogging for over 2 years. It's crazy. Who would have thought? Who would have thought in May of 2011
when my blog had
been
still
only...
Still be going, yeah.
But
this isn't my first blog. I started blogging originally back in about, 2005, 2006 with my arts and crafts stuff. And that ran for 2 years before I started this one.
And I actually started blogging in 2004 about iPods. iPod Shuffle. Shufflehacks.blogspot.com. Go look it up. But no, that's when I look back I think it might have been 2005. Maybe it's 2004, 2005. But not, but so I had a little bit of an idea of it, but wasn't anything like what it's like to blog solid for a couple years. Do you want to tell people what you've been up to recently? And also, you know, maybe what other projects you have going on and how they can find more from you as far as gold making.
Okay. Well, as you said, it's ahaddict.blogspot.com. And I've been slacking a little bit. I kind of hit the doldrums there for a little while, but I'm picking up my posting schedule again, slowly getting more back into gold making. I actually wasn't really playing WoW hardly at all, so I tend to write about what I'm doing in game, I don't really write opinion pieces or theory pieces. It's usually what I'm doing. So if I'm not playing, I've got no post material. So it gets very difficult then to come up with ideas.
Did you see the Godmother's post? I think it was last week sometime. Where she's just like...
Which one?
This post is, she says this post is about nothing.
Oh, Sundays, yes. But she, to be honest, the Godmother writes every day.
Oh, my gosh.
She writes every day.
She cracks me up on Twitter sometimes.
Yeah, she's got some brilliant... She writes... I mean, she doesn't write gold making.
Yeah.
She writes much more opinion pieces, and she has ideas about, you know, what Blizzard...
She theorizes about things.
She does a lot of theory, what Blizzard could do, like that kind of thing. And
it
I
almost
think,
seems like sometimes like it's like The Onion, where like it's fake news, but sometimes people might not realize that it's... Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen people like take what she says and then go off on it when they don't realize that she's theorizing
she's just saying this is possible.
And not like, yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, but I love her writing style. I think what she does is equally as difficult as gold making, but of course she has a much wider horizon for getting post ideas.
Now, what's her what's the site? That's the link to her site.
Alternative.
Why don't you keep chatting and I'll look it up while.
Yeah, I hate her URL. I can never remember it. I always go via Twitter. But yeah, so I've got back into game. Believe it or not, through pet battles. So I've been doing a fair bit of pet battling and making
gold.
You're
not the only one. It seems like it's infecting everybody around.
Yes. Well, it's. I'm fed up with leveling, and I have a lot of bad experiences in dungeons, and I haven't even braved LFR yet, and I'm so far behind the gear grind.
Yeah.
That pet battling with experience is... I have two alts, 86 now, purely through pet battles.
Okay, so her site is alternative-blog.net.
Ah, that's the one. I can never remember it.
So pet battles...
So pet battles, yeah. So that's been fun. And then SokoWow on Twitter, so at SokoWow, said something about buying pets on a cheaper server or cheap pets on a different server. And I had some money stashed away. So off I went and started trying to make some gold on a second server, just flipping on the auction house. So now I'm doing cross-realm battle pet sales. Well, I would be if I didn't keep buying the ones I haven't got and keeping them for myself. I was up to about 4,500 gold just on my little level one flipping stuff in the auction house on this other server. And I've blown through that, and I got back up to 3,000, and I'm down to 500 again now because I bought some more. Because they're so much cheaper on that server than they are on mine.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, I might have a million on mine, but I still begrudge paying.
Well, and also, you know, you can, you know, sell pets from your main server on that server to help fund that if you know the market well enough to be able to, you know, say you have a pet, one that you have three of that's going to sell for...
Yes, exactly. Well, this is the idea in the long run, or the short to medium term, actually, is once I've got all the pets that I can possibly buy off the auction house, then my spares and my excess ones will be going one way or the other. I'm going to attempt to sell some that are already leveled a little bit and see if I can get a little bit more gold for them. So, you know, that's one project that I'm working on. And then I don't know how many of your listeners ever been to my blog, but I've recently joined Marcus Tai on his podcast as a co-host. So you can find that now. I'll give you Marcus's.
I love Marcus to death, but is the fact that he has two main different URLs and also a third URL, it's just helps me. It gets me a little confused. So maybe I'll let you. Maybe you can do a better job of.
Well, the easiest way to find the podcast is www. As always, wowgoldjournal.com /podcasts. And he has all the podcasts in a section on his website there. I've got a couple of posts up now which are show notes, and the links to iTunes are in there. And I've just had a message from him actually that he's finally got Stitcher organized. So the link for Stitcher will be going up shortly as well. So people prefer Stitcher over iTunes.
It's really strange that Stitcher has become such a popular alternative.
Well, it's for people with Android. I don't think we can use iTunes, can we?
Oh, okay, possibly. Yeah, I've looked into Stitcher, and if anybody out there has any more knowledge about it, let me know. I started reading into all their documentation, and I've read a few things about it that kind of turned me off from it. But I've had a few people mention it, but they have, it's different. It's different than just like a directory. They're, you know, they take, anyways, I don't want to get into the nitty gritty, but.
Yeah. So that's how you find the podcast, and it's the Journal of Marcus Tai podcast, and we're having great fun with it. It's Marcus and I had a chat. I guessed it twice, and it's only episode 9, so I guessed it twice, and I've co-hosted on episode 8 and 9. So, and we got chatting, and I said to him, "Have you ever thought of co-host?" And he was like, "Yeah, when did you start?" So we chatted a bit more, and off we went. But it's a shorter podcast. We try to keep it around an hour or less.
Oh, okay. An hour is a shorter podcast, I guess. Guess I've had a lot of longer shows in the past. Nowadays, we don't go.
Yeah, I seem to remember we ran 2.5 hours on one show.
Well, maybe we'll see if that happens again. I've gotten better. Let's just say I've gotten better at I actually keep track of time now, and I've gotten good at being able to trim the show if need. Edit.
I know.
Pre-edit so that you can.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And the other project I have at the moment is I'm building a mailing list. I've been writing some extra material, and I've had a mailing list sign-up box on my screen, on my blog, and a little pop-up. I'm sorry if that annoys anybody. I hope I've got it set it up now so that it doesn't pop up every single time you visit. But, I've got a post coming out next Monday, and I'm organising a giveaway. I've been onto Amazon, and I've bought a Bloat the Bubblefish, which turns into a purple puffer, one of the TCG pets. So that's going to be a giveaway for my mailing list people. So you have to sign up to be in with a chance of winning it. So that's coming up. And what else? Yeah, I'll tell you what else I've been doing. I don't know if you've ever had Eric Exynthis on the show as a guest.
Mm-mm.
From the Golden Crusade. Mm-hmm. He's the guy who has done the two annual gold surveys. Mm-hmm. You may have seen those.
Yeah.
He wrote a book. He wrote a WoW gold strategy guide book. And I was one of the names put forward as a technical reviewer. I got to see the rough drafts and put my 2 pennies worth in, and it got sent back to him saying, "Fix this." And so that's come out recently. So I'll have links. I'll have links for that on my blog as well. See if we can get Eric some of his royalties. It's a good book. It's a good book. I wouldn't have let a bunch of rubbish go through. I did put a fair few comments in. I took it very seriously. And reading through, it is a beginner's book. It's not, it's not for the.
And this is something that's actually a book too.
Yeah, it's a proper ebook. Yeah, it's available for Kindle, I think. But yeah, it's a physical book. My copy turned up in the post last week.
Oh.
And and I've got my little. And I'm not the only technical reviewer. Mm-hmm. Fat Loots and WoW Profits were the other two. So the three of us, and Fat is fairly well known now, and you know, he's got some good opinions on gold making. He writes some interesting stuff. And Whale Profits, of course, is the crazy clown on Twitter. Everybody knows Whale Profits.
I don't know if I'd call him a crazy clown. His image, his icon is freaky. Scary clown. There we go.
He's a scary clown, but I think he's a crazy clown. because it's just a clown to
and
me.
I mean his icon only. I'm not saying that his icon is reflecting on his personality.
Oh, come on. Have you heard his own podcast? He's crazy clown. I call him Clowny. He's a sweetheart. All tattoos and earrings and big beefy guy, and I think he's a sweetheart, but never mind. Yeah, you'll have to cut that bit. He might get a big head.
I'll cut that out.
I bet you won't.
Yes, yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
So that occupied the early part of this year. So book, new podcast, co-hosting, new mailing list, writing extra material for my mailing list people, and trying to get back into the swing of gold making. So that's and I've got a new job. And I've got a new job, yes.
Busy.
And I've got a second blog as well. SheRidesDragons.blogspot.com, which started off as my alternative whale stuff that wasn't gold making, but has become a little bit wider. I've started including some more personal stuff as things strike me and I feel the need to write. So, you know, mainly whale stuff, non-gold making whale stuff. Yeah. But
it's good to have an outlet to be able to.
Yes. Yes. And also it means that the people that I follow on Twitter from other blogs, other podcasts, etc., you know, they're not always necessarily interested in gold making, but I can join in the wider community then.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So, you know, community topics and stuff like that. And me, there's a few memes going on, you know, 20 questions, that kind of thing. So it means I can join in and talk about the rest of WoW as well. Nice. So, yeah, so I've been busy.
Busy, that's good. Busy is good, usually.
Yes. That,
you know, got a lot of stuff going on. Let's go ahead and jump into shout-outs.
Okie dokie. I think done. I've done a few already.
Yeah, so do you want to go ahead and start with any shout-outs you might have?
Marcus Ty, at Marcus Ty on Twitter, my new co-host. Boss man. For now. Let him think that.
You're going to take over. Bloody coup. You take over the podcast.
No. Just 50-50. So, yeah, pretty much I think Marcus is my main shout-out right now. He's given me an opportunity to
How have you liked podcasting on a somewhat regular basis? I know it's not been that long, but...
Well, I've only done two.
So technically you've done more Power Word Gold podcasts than you have. You said you did...
No, I've done four of his, actually.
I know, and this is number six, so we're still... No.
So you're still ahead for the moment.
No. Don't you know that the only reason I got a podcast is to stay ahead of the competition?
Yeah, well... Somebody told me that the best way of publicizing the fact that I'm a co-host now and you know, helping get our podcast off the ground is to go on other podcasts. While that conversation was happening, you tweeted me and said, come on, you haven't got an excuse now.
I know. Well, we keep in touch.
Yeah, I did put you off a little bit a few months ago, didn't I? Because I wasn't doing anything. Yeah. You know, I feel such a fraud coming onto a podcast talk about gold making when I'm not doing it.
You feel like a fraud if you don't know what's going on, because honestly, I kind of get disappointed when people are on a show about a specific topic and they don't really seem very enthusiastic about the topic, and it's like, well, why are you doing a show then?
Yeah.
You know, so I think sometimes people just get in habits and... So that's your main shout out then?
Yeah, Marcus Ty.
All right.
And yeah, Marcus Ty.
All right, so I'm going to go ahead and do a couple shout-outs here. I have some Twitter shout-outs and some Facebook shout-outs. So Twitter shout-outs are people that have been in touch with me on Twitter. So shout-outs to Fade. Happy Pioneer's Day, Fade. Well Wow, Fat Lutz Mo, Corey Saunders, Ray, who is that's Clarky. Your Wow Money, Soko, Gimps Gold, E7F Profits, Josh M, Grays. I don't know if you've listened. You remember Grays?
BDF. I remember Grays. Yeah, I've got Grays on my real ID.
Yeah, he's been putting out podcasts about gold making and about other things. So, I think his Wow or Gold dot blog.
Oh, that's him, is it? I never made the connection.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm such a doofus sometimes.
So, if you go to the chronicle.powerwordgold.net for last weekend, I put one of his podcasts that he's been doing, and he got it on iTunes now. So that's I think it's Wow or Gold. Yeah, you can find it there. Facebook shout outs: Cody, Paul, Bella, John. It seems a little different when you're doing Facebook ones because it's just people's names. Sabrina, Andy, Dan, Keith, Sabu, Jacqueline, Ross, and Wendy. So thanks to everybody who's been leaving comments, liking our stuff on Facebook. So thank you very much. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into the next section, which is what we've been doing in gold making recently. So, ladies first, Nev, do you want to talk a little bit about what you've been up to recently in your gold making?
I've already kind of told you, the cross realm pet battles has been the main
Now, is that
interest.
Actually making you gold, or is it just pushing gold around?
I haven't started selling yet.
Okay.
I'm doing low level flipping on the other server. Okay.
I did a bunch of research on that, and I tried it for a while, and it was nice for getting gold off of like odd scattered servers. Mm-hmm. When they had the raiding with leashes, it was really handy because I could buy the pets up that I would normally, if I don't want to farm the pets out of the raids, I bought the pets up on other servers to help drain the gold off of that server. And while it didn't necessarily technically transfer the gold straight to me, it provided me with the benefit I wanted, which was, the Mr. Biggles pet. So
I'm planning on buying cheap pets on my secondary server and selling them for much higher value on my main server if I can find pets that I have already got. Because if I haven't got them, I'm not selling them. I'm still working on my pet battle achievements, my collecting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's still quite a few that I don't have.
So do you think it'll be a viable way to make gold, or do you think that it's a nice side project for people that are already interested in pets?
I think it's a combination of both. I think being heartless and ruthless gold maker, you still need to know what you're buying. It's a little bit like transmog.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what's popular, what's fashionable, what's got the best stats.
Yes.
So if you're not interested in pet battles, then
you'd be wandering on blind.
Yeah, you can be buying pets that look cheap, but actually nobody wants them. So you get stuck with them. So you really, I think like transmog, you really need to do a little bit of research. Yeah. You need to be into it. I mean, I've never been into transmog particularly. I've dabbled here and there. But actually on episode 9 of Journal of Marcus Tai, we talked about transmog. And Marcus basically pointed out that dipping a toe in is not the way to make money at it. You need to do your research.
When I was researching them, I was going not off of knowing much about pet battles, like, this pet has such overpowered moves. Mainly going by checking prices across multiple servers and then averaging those out and saying, okay, well, across five server, well, and with each server, if you have two factions, I had a starter edition account that I have with level ones that I can just pop on to these servers and, you know, not have to take up my own character slots and search. But, you know, going across six servers or six server and factions, this one seems like it's selling well and this one seems like it's selling low. So,
yeah, I mean, what you've got to watch, obviously, is are they actually selling or are they just lots of them on the auction
That's
house?
True.
So what I've been doing is I've been looking for I've been actually looking for level 25 pets on my secondary server and comparing the prices of those with level 25 mm-hmm. pets in general on my server, because and also looking at stats, and there's beginning to be more and more blogs out there about pet battling now, which teams are popular. And it is very much like transmog and very much like the top end gear market. You need to know your stats. You need to know who's looking for what. There are certain pets that are, you know, almost universally acclaimed as the best group of pets. So if you can buy those cheap on a big server and sell them like mine at a high price on a low or medium
the,
pop
the
server.
The glorious set of items, like glorious transmog items.
Exactly. I mean, I can buy a level 25 pet on my secondary server for £2,000 or £3,000 gold.
Mm-hmm.
But there isn't a level 25 for under 7,000 on my server.
Oh, okay.
So there's 5K profit there almost straight away. Okay, I've still got to sell that level 25 pet on my mm-hmm. own main server, and that is the question.
How do you generate enough revenue on the first server to?
Well, my secondary server, I've just been flipping.
Or sorry, that's what I meant. Okay, so you're running a little side operation of trying to generate some revenue for them just to get the pet, have enough money to buy the pet.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to transfer an alt over there. But I'm actually playing so little. I'm only doing auction house, really.
Mm-hmm.
I figured having an alt over there was no better than starting a new one and just flipping.
Okay.
I couldn't really afford to take professions away from my main server.
Yeah.
I want those where they are. So
yeah.
I may very well start a DK or two over there.
Could you also sell pets from your main server on that server as well to try to make some money? Like,
I could
buy a pet for 5,000 that will sell for 5,000 over there.
Yeah. My server's really expensive on
pets.
Oh,
okay. So you might end up losing money.
I mean,
deal.
I've been buying pets. I mean, I bought a ghostly skull yesterday for 500 gold. It's 2,500 gold on my server.
Mm, okay.
And that wasn't a fluky price. That is a standard price, you know. So it's I'd kind of been throwing.
And was that a 25 level pet? Because isn't that the pet you get from Dalaran?
No. I don't know where you get that. No, the ghostly skull. Oh, I don't know. I just didn't have it, so I bought it.
Down in the sewers of Dalaran, there's a little guy that sells the red glowing skulls. I don't know if it's the same one or not.
Possibly, yes. I'm still researching, so I'm still buying pets that are esteemed cheap between the two servers for my own collection right now.
Yeah.
And then I'll be leveling them and selling some leveled ones. But I can't remember who it was. Somebody said the other day, sell level 9 pets.
Yeah, we were talking about that.
Sell level 9 pets because there's an achievement
for level 10, and then also
raise X number to level 10.
Yeah, I don't think you might have seen it, but we were talking about it on my live stream. We were talking about level 9 pets and Fade originally a long time ago had talked about level 24 pets also as a possibility because of the achievement for getting certain number of pets to 25. So if you sell it at 24 and level 9,
also I believe when you cage them, don't they lose a level or two?
I think that's when you use a battle stone on them, they lose some.
That's right. Yeah. I'm still learning all this. This is another reason I haven't started selling yet. I'm still collecting my data.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, they have a really nice system there with their battle pets, Aragoth had mentioned on the last episode that he was thinking about saving that. He was kind of saving that for the doldrums that happen at the end of the expansion slump, where there's not much going on. Then he was thinking about going ahead and trying to play around. And April really likes doing them. So,
yeah.
All right. Anything besides pets that you've been doing in gold making recently?
I've just been maintaining my stocks of the crafted PvP items, and they're still selling well.
Which ones of those are selling for you? Which out of
my
the
My best ones is from a leather worker.
Okay.
So the leather and mail. They're holding their prices nicely.
How much are you selling them for?
About 700 gold.
For the two Magnificent Hide version, or are they all the same price? Because
pretty much all the same price. Okay. Anything
700 is still a profit, because even if it's a head, chest, or legs, that takes two. How much are your Magnificent Hides selling for on your server?
Magnificent Hides are selling for anywhere between 125 and 225.
Okay.
But so I'm not buying those.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I bought so much leather at the beginning. I can't remember when it was. Just before these discovered recipes came out, I bought... It must have been... Well, I'm still working my way through it. Let's put it that way. I'm using the cooldown to make my Magnificent Hides and get my recipes. But it's also cheap enough. I think I was paying about 25 gold a stack.
Oh, geez. Okay, yeah.
So my Magnificent Hides, even if I do them using the 50 exotic leathers, are still costing me about 80 gold max.
Yeah. See, for me, it's always... The Magnificent Hides were consistently at 200 to 250, but the items were only selling for 200 to 400. Mm-hmm. So I kind of just, we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
But. The tailoring ones are doing well as well, but again, nowhere near the profit. I mean, I bought a whole heap of wind wool. Again, I'm still working through. I've got bolts and bolts of that stuffed in my banks. And that's still selling, but they sell for between 150 and 300.
Yeah. I actually got out of the markets recently. I just sold them all. I sold off all of my crafted dreadful items for 55 gold. Just to get them out. Just to get rid of them.
No.
Or I was going to disenchant them, so...
That's my biggest market at the moment, to be honest.
Yeah, well...
Flasks aren't selling, the buff foods aren't selling, gems, I slacked off on my gems because my jewel crafter is my scribe as well, and we all know glyphs are horrible.
Speaking of it, I have a quote. I have a quote written down from back in the early days of the podcast. I did way more... overly extensive notes. So here's a quote from Nev from the episode 9. Glyphs all the way. That was what you've been doing in gold, making glyphs all
well,
the way.
Yeah, well, I hit Cataclysm. We hit Cataclysm in the December, and I'd only just started making gold. No, that was in the September, wasn't it? Cataclysm hit in September. I'd only just really started making gold at that point, and then in the January, I think it was, I started jewel crafting. Right when my blog first started, I just started my jewel crafter on the same alt as my scribe, and basically that alt has so many hours logged between the milling and the prospecting and the crafting and everything else and the listing. But yeah, I mean, basically that alt made me my million in 6 months. Just from a combination of gems and glyphs, and probably, I'd say 65% glyphs and the rest in gems. I mean, yes, I was doing a few other bits and pieces, but not any great volume.
All right.
And then they changed the glyphs, and now she's abandoned.
Oh. I have markets like that I've kind of moved on from. All right. Anything else that you've been doing recently?
No, I think that's about it.
Huh? That's about it. Okay, good.
That's about it. What have you been doing, Jim?
Let's see. So I've been continuing to maintain, you know, my normal markets. I got out of the Crafted Dreadful cloth market because I kind of get in and get out. There's just too much competition in those markets on both factions for me to really justify the expense of posting them up over and over again when I don't end up getting any sales. So I did a fire sale on them. I think on one side somebody might have bought me all out, which is fine because 55 gold honestly used to be enough to disenchant it. But I've been doing well in my flipping markets. 83 to 84 and 87 to 88 are both about even as far as sales go. Mm-hmm. I've been trimming down what I sell. I've stopped selling of the Eagle. I've stopped selling of the Seer. And I stopped selling of the Tiger. Just because I did the research and I talked about it on the last podcast. Yeah. I did the research and
I saw your post. That was interesting.
Yeah, those were the ones that didn't seem like they were doing very well. Other than that, I've started to dig in a little bit more. I try at least once a week to get a proper, you know, blog post out. And so this week I just released, or today, it's actually, you know, just this last week I released a post about item level jumps. So mm-hmm. this is, you know, people that have been paying attention to the flipping market might not always know why, you know, 77 to 80 Cataclysm items or 83 to 84 Mr. Pandaria items sell, but I did a lot of research where I went in and I dug into, I searched WoWhead for the highest item level available on a green BOE item mm-hmm. at every level from 50 up to 90, and then I put those all into a spreadsheet and did a graph, and just to kind of show people where these, you know, why these powerful items are so powerful at their given levels. So I've been digging into, as the expansion kind of slows down, like I don't raid and I don't PvP, so, and since I don't work in gems or flasks or any of that, I don't necessarily, my gold making isn't necessarily tied to raiding or raiders, and so I'm looking at, as time goes on through the rest of the expansion, well, to be honest, and I know you said something about this on your last podcast with Marcus Tai, but to be honest, I actually haven't even done the content at 5.1 or 5.2 or 5.3. Like, I know it exists, but
yeah,
you know, I feel like I'm a little bit behind, but I also don't have the motivation.
My blacksmith dinged 90 and hasn't left the capital city of Pandaria yet.
Did you at least go get your?
No.
It's not that hard. Take someone with you, but
to get the ingot thingy.
Yeah, it's
See, I haven't.
Easy. You just get the quest in town long steps to go. You jump off the boat. You ride on your mount all the way over there, and then you just kill the guy. He's just a little bit like a boss where you just got to follow his mechanics. But
I'm not even sure I remember how to play my warrior.
I did a warrior too, but luckily for me. There was a Death Knight that was there to help me.
I don't know how, but somehow I've ended up with three level 90s, and they're all my plate characters. My Pally, my Warrior, and my DK.
Nice. Yeah, I have a few level 80. All my characters are 85 and above, and I think I have seven level 90s or six. I just get in the groove. I just get in the groove of questing. I just quest. I don't actually do dungeons. So that's what's been going on with me. What I was gonna say is expansion kind of comes into a close, I've been looking at my markets with more of a critical eye and seeing if I can kind of optimize it. And it's been actually pretty fun. So
yeah.
All right, let's get into our simple. Actually, let's see. We'll do the simple tip and trick, then we'll do the sponsor, then we'll get into our topics.
Okie dokie.
All right. So the simple tip and trick that we're going to talk about today. If you don't learn anything else in the show, hopefully you learn this one. If you have an item that you need to cancel, one of the best ways I've found to do that is with an add-on called Auctionator. It's the one I use along with Auctioneer and Trade Skill Master for my auctioning. If you click on the More tab at the bottom of your auction house, if you have Auctionator installed, it will show you on the left-hand side an alphabetical list of all the items that your character currently has for sale. And this is the fastest way. You just scroll down, find the item, click on it, hit cancel, bing, bada, boom. That's like sometimes I'll you know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but sometimes you accidentally queue something up, or you, you're using Auctionator to post something, and you maybe are posting first 5-stack, and then you click, and you click post again, but now it moved to a different, you know, maybe you were undercutting a different one, and now that you just clicked, and so.
My favorite is using TSM to post, and having an old TSM auctioning group set up at Kata prices.
Oh my gosh.
And then you suddenly have this random Kata flask or something in your bag, and it posts, and because of course there's none on the auction house, I think I was trying to sell potions of speed for 296 gold last week without realizing.
I had that happen with, like, I have some cleanup groups, and I have like some leather when I was cleaning out my guild bank, but now I'm leveling a leather worker, and I'll accidentally, like, when I'm posting her, she's also an enchanter, so when I post my enchanting items, because, you know, I'm making leather items, I'm disenchanting them, I'm posting the mats just to get them out of my bag, and I'll accidentally post my leather, and I'm like, wait a minute, rugged leather, no, I need that. And so I have to go cancel. Speaking of leveling my leather worker, so anyway, that's the simple tip and trick. Auctionator, check the more tab if you need to cancel. Speaking of my leather worker, I had mentioned on the last podcast that I was thinking about, because of how many, there's twice as many patterns you learn for PvP items, because you're doing leather and mail PvP items, and my leather worker is still learning patterns to this day. I think there's like something like 79 patterns, which is like,
yeah, I'm still going as well,
over like 2.5 months or something. So I actually took one of my jewel crafters and I got rid of jewel crafting and I picked up leather working, and honestly, it's been a pain in the butt because the leather is too expensive and I end up having to go out and farm leather, which technically takes time, but even if it is expensive, even if I wanted to spend 15 gold per leather, I just can't bring myself to spend over like 4 or 5 gold per leather. But
you know what? That is one of the main hints or tips for new gold makers.
If something
just because I've got all that gold sitting there does not mean I'm going to go and pay high prices for basic stuff. I'm sorry. I'm rich because I'm tight.
I'm rich. Yes. That's the kind of my answer when people ask, well, what do you spend your gold on? I'm like, I don't spend it on anything. That's why I still have it.
Yeah, but anyways, I just like the big numbers.
I have a fun story to tell, and then we'll get into our sponsor. But I was I put a post up on this on Power Word Gold, but I was going through WoW Dash Professions I was using to kind of find where to get, you know, leather, where to farm leather, and I was farming leather in Badlands, I do believe. There's some whelps, and there's like a you get a quest with either 3 orcs or 3 Vikings.
Oh yeah,
you got to go kill some whelps, and then the lady comes down and gets mad at you, and she
I hate that quest.
So that
those whelps respawn so quickly, and those 3 helpers end up pulling more than you can handle.
Yeah. So I had
to get a level 85 to come and help me do that one.
So I was farming there, and out of the blue, Robes of Insight drop. Purple world drop, Robes of Insight dropped for me, and I freaked out. I was like, holy crap. Because I got a couple of blues that had dropped, because I was farming literally, I had to get something like 200 or 300 of these rugged leathers, I think it was, I don't remember which one, but Robes of Insight dropped, and I was like, oh my gosh, that is so crazy. That's like pretty much one of the most, I think the global price for it was 9,000. It's one of the best looking. There's some similar robes that look similar that you can get from Encourage, but
the robes of Insight?
Yeah.
Now, they're on my auction house for 2,000, and they're dropping. I put a tweet out on Twitter. That's silly, doesn't it? But I put a post out on Twitter probably 10 days ago, asking, because they were on my server for 5K, and it's the same person still trying to sell them has dropped them to 2K. I just think my server is so so just low pop right now. Yeah.
I think that I'm the same way. I've been trying to sell a glorious chest piece for sometimes as low as 2,500, and nobody will buy it on my server. But anyway, so that was fun. I I thought it was pretty cool. I think we all remember, at least in vanilla, when we get a world purple drop, because it's not really common to get those.
I remember when I was grinding my Netherwing reputation over in the mine, looking for eggs and picking up those weird ores and everything over in
Shadow Moon Valley.
That's the one, yeah. Right over on the edge there, I picked up an epic from there.
So crazy, so cool.
And I was like, ooh, squee! I was so pleased. And then I found out that it was one of the more common ones.
Yeah.
So. Oh, well, never mind.
All right, so let's go ahead and take a break here for just a second to talk about the sponsor for the show. By the way, if you're interested in sponsoring the Power Word Gold podcast, feel free to send us an email at powerwordgold@yahoo.com, and we'll talk to you about rates and all that stuff. But the sponsor for this episode of the Power Word Gold podcast is the Power Word Gold Guides. We have two different guides available for purchase. The Power Word Gold Guide Volume 1, which is a 100-plus page guide about making gold with add-ons. And then the Power Word Gold Guide Volume 2, which is a 75-page guide about making gold in Mist of Pandaria. The price for those guides are $5, $10, $15, or $20 each. Four different prices. They all purchase the same guides. We just leave it up to you guys to decide which price you'd like to pay to support us by purchasing the guides. To purchase those guides, head over to powerwordgold.net, look for the banner ad, the store link at the top of the page, or the purchase links on the sidebar. So thanks to everybody who purchases the guide, and yeah, that's it. So let's get into the topics. Let's get into the topic, shall we?
Yeah, what are we going to talk about tonight then, Jim?
What we're going to do today, Brian?
Pardon?
The same thing we do every day, Pinky. Sorry, that was my terrible Pinky in the Brain impression. What we're going to do today, Brian?
I'm kind of British, so it's kind of lost on me anyway. I've heard of Pinky in the Brain, but I've never seen
it. It was a segment on Animaniacs, and anyway, there's two mice, and they're lab rats, and the one has a really big brain, and so he always tries to take over the world, but his friend is kind of a dopey little, what are we going to do today, Brain?
Oh, okay, same so I'll be the dopey one then.
Let's see. No, you're the one with the big brain. All right. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was preparing for patch 5.4. We've talked about 5.4, you know, on previous podcasts, but I just wanted to chat, especially since we have someone new here, a little bit about what we're specifically doing to prepare for patch 5.4 now. You know, we don't have to get into all the theory crafted and all blah, 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 but I thought we could at least talk a little bit about what we're specifically doing. Do you want to talk a little bit, Nev, about what you might be doing as patch 5.4 gets a little bit closer?
I've been promising myself for my blacksmith to go and get that ingot on the aisle that we mentioned a few minutes ago. So I think I probably should do that.
Calliope has a really nice little picture with a dot showing right where to get the guy, so I just ran there.
I've got a Gildy who knows where it is, so I'll get him to come keep me company. Bless him, he's a sweetheart. So I mean, I picked up about 10,000 ghost iron or about a month ago, and I'm still working my way through it right now. And I wasn't intending on stockpiling for 5.4, but I'm working through it so slowly it's going to end up being a stockpile.
And to make you feel a little bit better, I'm pretty sure now it could be this way for testing, but I'm almost positive that in 5.4 the new cooldown is just going to be dropped off of a mob, so you don't have to do anything special, which will be nice.
Yes, it's a bit like the primal diamond recipes for the
and the leather working recipes were from mob drops.
Yeah, the first few mobs you'll probably pick it up, to be honest. I think I killed 10 things and I had 2 primal diamond recipes very early on.
Before you even realized that you had one drop, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the primal diamond dropped, and then there was the pattern for the serpent's heart also dropped.
Yes. But I think I got those in the very first, you know, when you first land in Pandaria, on that beachhead there. And I only took her out intending to get those.
Yeah.
And then she got to 90 somehow, but never mind. So I'm keeping an eye on the prices, and I'm picking up Ghost Iron Ore when it's in my price range. Windwall. Yes, I've got a lot, but you can never have too much. You know, I've got the rest of the expansion to get rid of it, so I shall pick that up while it's cheap. And it is, Windwall is extremely cheap all the time. That one's never really got high prices.
I've been buying mine for like under 2 gold, but how cheap is it on your server? Is it even lower than that?
Yeah. I can pick up a stack for 20, 25 gold.
Oh my gosh. Okay, yeah.
But exotic leather... There is a severe shortage of leather workers on my server. I picked up just before, was it 5.2 when they brought in the crafted dreadful stuff? So just before 5.2, I think I picked up probably 100, 120 stacks for about 25 gold a stack.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy cheap. Yeah. Now I'm lucky if I can get one stack for less than 85, 90 gold.
Yep, that sounds about right. And mine's about 5 gold a piece.
I'm kind of hesitant to pay that price.
Yeah.
I'm very risk averse, and I don't want to stockpile at that price.
Yeah, I even think of how long it takes me just to farm up 20. Like back when I didn't want to pay, but I did want to do my cooldown, I would go to the Turtles and Valley of the Four Winds and farm up 20 leather, and it still took me quite a while. And I'm thinking, like, man, how long is it going to take me to?
Yeah. I think if I was running my paladin, she's my skinner leather worker. Yes, I know, on a paladin. Long story. I think if I was running her regularly and playing her, it wouldn't be a problem. Because she was my main. She's always been my leather worker. And I have this habit. You know, I can't run through Ungoro or Sholazar without skinning. You know, it's like tidy. And it's kind of the same wherever she goes. She skins everything. And then I periodically do a blast on Magnificent Hides. But I'm actually keeping an eye on the Magnificent Hide prices, because obviously the conversion there, if the leather is selling for 100 gold, 80 gold a stack, well, you're looking at 2.5 stacks to make a Magnificent Hide. So what's that? That's 200 gold. So whenever
But that's if you don't... That's a non-daily cooldown version.
Yeah. But if...
I would never be able to afford making a Magnificent Hide with... Because mine is...
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is saying, right, okay, well, Magnificent Hides off cooldown are 200 gold. On cooldown, these people, unless they've got stockpile or they go in to farm it, they're paying 80 to 100 gold.
Do the math, and mine's only at 5 gold a piece. It's 250 for a Magnificent Hide, which is actually less than I thought it would be.
Yeah, but the thing is, as well...
But still more than daily cooldown.
When the Magnificent Hides drop to like 120, 125, it's worth snatching them up.
Yes, I would love it if there was more of those.
There's not many. Oh, my second server, I picked up 10 or 12 of them for 20 gold each.
Oops.
Somebody boo-booed.
Yeah.
So I turned them around, and I think I sold them for about 150, 180 gold, and they all went overnight. So that was 2 pets. Thank you very much, Mr. Magnificent Hide seller.
Mistaker.
Yeah, poor chap. I did apologize, actually.
See, if he would have had Auctionator, he could have quickly gone and canceled him.
If he even realized.
Yeah, I think people... Yeah, I mean, if you... You know, I'll do that every once in a while. I don't know if you've ever had this experience where you get a sale in your mailbox and it's like an even number and it's not the price that your item was supposed to sell for. You know, it's not like it's undercut or anything. You're like, wait a minute, this item isn't supposed to be sold for this much. And then you go check your groups, and sure enough, it's in the wrong group.
Yeah.
So you got your hides, you got your Ghost Iron Ore.
Yeah, and my Windwall. So I'm kind of stocking up on those, working on the basis of the daily cooldown discoveries for the PvP.
Yeah, those will be nice to do.
But I'm also looking into enchants and gems, because obviously with with the Virtual Realms and the Flex Raiding, I think perhaps we might see... I think the Virtual Realms will allow people to cross-realm raid who perhaps couldn't before. And also the Flex Raiding, I think perhaps will pull a few more people in. So I'm not stockpiling huge amounts, but I'm definitely... I'm definitely keeping some in stock. And, of course, Living Steel, Trillium. You know, for the Living Steel belts, if nothing else. But the big thing is the engineering mount. I think I think that's going to... I know, it looks amazing.
It reminds me of, like... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I'm pretty much... I'm just filling my bags with rubbish again.
I as far as getting ready for 5.4, the main change for me was not making any more PvP items for leatherworking. I'm just holding on to my magnificent hides. The few items I did have left that were made back when it was still quote-unquote profitable to make them have been selling off, but I'm just holding those on because unless they give us another way to make magnificent hides, it's going to be hard because the new cooldown is 2 magnificent hides every day you need to use just to learn a new pattern. So and the items are 2 and 3 magnificent hides to make, no longer 1 and 2. So it'll be interesting to see if they do provide some other way. It could be that people have to start using the non-cooldown version with 50 leathers. So it'll be interesting to see that. But because I'll have 2 leather workers, I'll have 2 cooldowns, so that'll be nice to have 2 magnificent hides a day.
Yeah.
And 2 patterns so that I can start to learn the...
I think leatherworking has been... I don't know why. I mean, I've always thoroughly enjoyed leatherworking. Mm-hmm. It might be because it was the very first profession I took, but I've always enjoyed it. And skinning and tidying up as I go along and everything else, you know. But I think somewhere along the way, leatherworking seems to be a little bit like engineering.
Yeah.
You know, people say, oh, engineering's awful. You can't make money with engineering. And I think leatherworking's been the same to a certain extent.
Yeah, I think that you're right. Up until they released these new Crafted Dreadful, I mean, you've been able to make leatherworking PvP items before, like in Cataclysm and stuff. But I think with these randomly generated pattern learning, it's really... scattered. I mean, if you think about it, for tailoring and blacksmithing in 29 days or something, everybody's going to have every single pattern, but it takes 79 days of it so if one leather worker drops out of the market, there's really a big gap now because, you know, there's not, you know, there's one of 79 patterns that someone's going to be learning on a daily basis, and it's you know, it's like, you know, we're basically working for 2. So I think it's been interesting. So I'm trying to think of anything else I'm doing. I've been using a lot of my crafted blacksmithing PvP items have been doing pretty good. Crafted Dreadful. So I've been burning through a lot of my Ghost Iron bars via blacksmithing, and also my engineering has been doing well with my Ghost Iron Dragonlings and Tinker's Gears. So whatever Ghost Iron ore I can get, I usually use. So I'm going to have to start keeping an eye out more. And I think I bought about 200 stacks a couple weeks ago or a week ago. So I'll have to keep an eye out for that and look for cheap. But other than that, not much else. I'm just probably need to do a little bit of a stockpile for, like you mentioned, with Windwool Cloth, just so that I can start immediately doing the cooldowns on the day, because getting them at the beginning is nice because not everybody has them, and you'll probably be the only one selling an item for the first week or so as people are just learning them.
Yeah, I was so lucky that first week. I was playing at the time quite regularly, and the first 5 patterns I learned on the thingy, on the random cooldown, I was pretty much the only one selling those. Yeah. So the auction house was full of leather and mail.
Uh-huh.
But we all had different patterns, which was great. So we all basically had a market to ourselves, just in specific areas.
Yeah. All right. 5.4 is coming up. Whatever your markets are in, just pick up a little bit of extra stuff. Or if you're in something like gem markets and you've been able to sell a lot in the past, or enchanting, pick up a lot of extra. Because I don't think I've ever heard somebody say, oh, I had too many gems on batch day. All right, yeah. Let's jump into the last few topics that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So the first one I wanted to talk about was growing the seed of an idea.
Mm. And
this is in my own, like, I'll give it an example for me. So there was a seed planted in my head by Gimp of Gimp's Gold. When he was offhandedly just commenting about how, you know, when you're doing gold making, look at what why the people are wanting to purchase the items. And he had said, you know, for example, 77 to 80 items are, you know, available that drop in Cataclysm, but they're available to be used by, you know, players in the previous expansion. And the reason that they would want them was because they, you know, they're more powerful. They have more stats. But that idea, that little seed, has continued to grow as I went from that to the 77 to 80 market, to the 83 to 84 market, and the 87 to 88 market. That market's not necessarily exactly the same, because it's not that the stats are higher. But anyway, continue. And then, you know, I would do a research on it. I would take, you know, every month or so, not on a clockwork or anything, but I would, you know, take some time to look at what I'm selling. Okay, now I've been selling it for this long. And this idea of, like, it's not just, you know, go into a market, then, you know, leave. It's definitely usually markets that you succeed in, but do you have any markets that you've noticed as time's gone on that you've continued to refine over time?
Yeah, I mean, for me, talking about seeds of ideas, I got quite into the Iron Paw tokens and the analysis of what to buy to convert and everything else. And I didn't really... It's quite a big thing getting your head around everything. So I built myself a spreadsheet and I put it out there in a post. And then a little bit later on, I kind of left... You know, I left it there because I've always quite enjoyed cooking as well. You know, the old chocolate cookie queen thing.
I'm wondering if he'll ever stop calling you that. I don't know.
Oh, I know. That was from your show. yeah. Just to let your listeners know, there was an achievement for eating 99 chocolate cookies. And 91. I was 91, that's right. And I was selling only in stacks of 20. So everybody had to buy that last stack of 20 to get 11 out of it. And I made a bit of a killing at that point. And I was on this show, mm-hmm. and Cold called me the Chocolate Cookie Queen. And that post actually made it onto WoW Insider. It was one of my very early success stories, that one.
Ah.
And my co-host Marcus has never forgotten it, and he's still calling me the Chocolate Cookie Queen. And most people don't even know what the chocolate cookies are these days. But if it's any consolation, I do make a fantastic chocolate cookie in real life.
Okay.
Anyway, so I enjoy the cooking side of the game. And Zero Hour, one of the consortium guys who started his own blog, he did a bit of a post with how he prices his Iron Paw tokens. And I hadn't really thought about pricing the tokens themselves. I was looking purely for doing straight conversions. Using the tokens, yes, but... You know, you buy meat cheap, convert mm-hmm. it to vegetables, sell high.
Yeah.
But he was actually making the buff foods. And I did about three or four different posts, which were, in effect, the refining the ideas. So I had the idea just from cooking. Everybody was talking about all sorts at the time. But his post triggered me to go back to that market and try and build a better spreadsheet. And I thought I had it, and then somebody else, I think it was Cold, commented, but surely that just means this. Can't remember exactly what it was now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yes. Out comes another post with a new variation on the mm-hmm. spreadsheet. And if you look back on it under Iron Paw on my, I've got a like a tag cloud. Mm-hmm. If you look under Iron Paw, you'll see there's about six posts there, and it's me working in public, working my way through and trying to finally get my head around this damn market. And then I take a couple of weeks off, and some kobold comes in and wipes out my black pepper and black pepper ribs and shrimp market from 70 gold each down to 9 gold each. Well, you can't get the materials for much less than about 20-25. So they're obviously just leveling their cooking because they're bored. So, and of course, there's not much raiding going on, so they're trying to empty their bags and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So that's kind of refining the idea. I mean, as I say, there's about six different posts, and each one is like a little bit deeper and a little bit light bulb moment and everything. Uh-huh.
I've had similar experiences where, you know, either somebody will say something on the live stream or will leave a comment on a post. And one of the examples was somebody saying, well, I've noticed that in my flipping markets, I've been able to sell my plate items for more than my other items. And then as I tried that variation, oh, they do sell. They are seem to be a little bit more rare. So, you know, just build up over time. And I think that, you know.
But this is the art. This is the art of gold making, isn't it? Anybody can do the practical bits. You know, buy this low, sell it high, shuffle this, buy that, cut this, disenchant that, blah, blah, blah. But if you don't understand processes behind it, if you don't use your brain, my thing with gold making, the most valuable add-on is your brain. Use your brain. Yes, the numbers might look good, but what are they actually telling you? Run an experiment, look at the data, fix it up, refine it a bit, change some parameters or whatever, try it again and see what works. Yeah. And that works for any market, pretty much in any game. If a game has an economy, it's all going to work in a very similar way.
That was the next topic I wanted to talk about. You led us right into it, which is refinement only comes with experience. And that's what we've been talking about, where the only way you're going to be able to know enough about any given thing to tune it, tweak it, and refine it and actually make yourself more money is you have to have experience in the market. So, you know, I've been in markets for over a year before I'll realize something about it that I could change. You know, it's, and it's only because I've been in it, and you might notice little things here and there.
I think a lot of it is, I mean, you have a great opportunity with your live stream and all the other outlets that you have for your content. You have a great opportunity to get a lot of feedback. Mm-hmm. And different people's opinions. My problem tends to be that I do it my way. And my way is not necessarily the most efficient way, because the one thing I hate the most is routine. Mm-hmm. And yet I have my own routines. Mm-hmm. But they're my routines. They suit me. So like glyphs, for example, you know, Fade in particular, I think she had X number of every single glyph, and she was, I can't remember if it was exactly Fade, but I know a lot of glyph, mm-hmm. a lot of scribes, they had six inscription bags full of glyphs, and they'd go and list every single glyph on the, mm-hmm. and I'm like, nah, mate, just sell the most expensive ones. Just sell the ones that are the most popular and are going to sell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I did a post something like the Lazy Girl's Guide to Glyphing or something like that. yes, so I had my routine, but it was my routine. But I get into a rut then. If you get into your own little routine, you tend to put the blinkers on. And I think the live stream with, you know, instant feedback, mm-hmm. somebody will say something, will trigger a thought, and you can instantly go back to them and say, oh, yeah, that's great. We could do this, 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 and this. And it's like brainstorming.
Yeah.
I think the live streamers, you have an advantage with that. That bloggers perhaps don't, because we don't have that feeding off each other's enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a real brainstorming session is just everybody going crazy with ideas.
That's not to say that a blogger doing something that they, I think one of the examples of it is, say, Stockpile. You know, his blog was fairly the same type of thing over and over again, but his writing style and the way that he did things was kind of to the point where he was doing his thing, and if you wanted to see, you could see. If you didn't see, then who cares?
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. And so, you know, that's not to say that, somebody going about doing their business isn't going to be interesting to play.
Heck no. I don't mean that. I mean more of the for the refining and the growing ideas and refining your methods and everything. I mean, Stockpile, bless him, he had a very particular way of seeing things. He could see straight, fascinating reading, and I think a lot of his content is still there. If your readers want to look at some, okay, he's talking about old items, so he's not talking about Ghost Dinosaur, he's talking about the older version of it, but the principles of what he's saying are still very valid. And that Stockpile with a K, no I used to love his blog, absolutely loved his blog. I don't really think like that, though. You talk about refining and experience. You refine your ideas through experience. But some people have an innate ability to read patch notes and go, oh, yeah, that'll be profitable. That won't. That'll suck. That'll be good. Or I'll say something. I'll say something to my friend and it'll be like, oh, yeah, well, you could sell that and do this. And I'm like, but I was going to keep it for me. No, sell it. You'll sell that for loads. That'd be in big demand. Get another one for yourself later. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay.
All right. Let's jump into our last topic.
Okay.
All right. So I want to make sure we have some time to talk about this, because it's our love. It's one of my favorite tools for gold making. And that is spreadsheets. So I wanted to talk about spreadsheets, why and how we use them. And I know both of us use spreadsheets, and both of us use them for different things. Do you want to talk a little bit about, maybe first off, why you are good at spreadsheets, and then actually what useful ones you end up using and why?
Yeah. Well, I'm an accountant. I've been using spreadsheets for
A while.
A long while, yes. Probably 25, maybe even 30 years now. Mm-hmm. I'm not an expert spreadsheet maker. I know how to do what I do, and I know how to read the Excel help files and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I use them all day, every day at work. I mean, you know, it's my bread and butter. So to me, using spreadsheets for WoW is not my favorite thing. I've done a few posts now, and I've got some spreadsheets up on Google Drive, on like the old Google Docs that I've shared. The Iron Paw Token Shuffle one is one. That's a big spreadsheet. But I tend to do nice, neat little quickies, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I just put one up this week for Titan Steel. And I tend to use it to clarify my thoughts. So I'll have an idea, and I'll start looking at markets and numbers, and then I'll just build a little tiny spreadsheet. Might only have 8, 10 lines of like raw materials and a few formulas in it, but and then I can play with the numbers. So if my server, for example, I'll use the Titan Steel example because those numbers are fresh in my head. If I can buy Saronite ore at, say, for example, 2 gold each, then I'm selling Titan Steel at 500 gold. I'm making best part of 350 gold profit by the time I've smelted it and transmuted it and smelted it into Titan Steel. But then I know, okay, so I know what my selling price is. So then I can change the numbers in the spreadsheet to see what my maximum price should be to still make a good profit. So, for example, if I plug in 5 gold for my sarenite ore, I'm still making a profit. But is it worth smelting, transmuting, smelting again, sourcing the eternals that you need to make the mm-hmm. Titan steel? Or would I be better off selling titanium as bars? So my little spreadsheets, so they tell me, if you like, very early on in my process, they tell me that if I can get it for 2 gold or less, grab it. Mm-hmm. If it's 5 gold, you might want to think twice.
Yeah.
So those are the prices that I put into my head for when I'm shopping. And once I've got those numbers in my head, then I don't need the spreadsheet anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I kind of, I keep a lot of stuff in my head. Numbers are my thing, you know. it's not that I'm showing off or that it's just that's how my brain works. So I know, for example, I know how much I paid. I mean, let's face it, 6 months ago, I know how much I paid for that exotic leather. Mm-hmm. I know how much I bought, and I still remember it. It's like phone numbers. I still remember it. I'll tell you a funny story just quickly. I can actually still remember the phone number of the house that I grew up in when I was 6 or 7 years old. And that's kind of like over 40 years ago. I still remember the phone number. So, you know, numbers stick in my head. So that's how I use spreadsheets. I get a feel for a market, and then I kind of crystallize my thoughts into a spreadsheet for the actual prices that I'm paying or that I'm seeing on my auction house. Then I plug in higher numbers to see at what point I have to stop buying, or at what point I have to stop buying my raw materials and still make a profit that I want. So for me, actually, on my server, I'm being greedy. I won't pay more than 3 gold for sarenite ore. I've already worked that one out. And I'm making a hefty profit. But it also then gives me leeway to drop the price of my Titan steel if I find that nobody's interested whatsoever. So I've got leeway to bring my prices, my final prices down if I want to, and still make good profit. So, you know, and then once I've got that upper limit of costs in my head and the lower limit of sales price, then I don't need my spreadsheet anymore.
Yeah. You know? I think I had the same experience with you for example, living steel. Because mm-hmm. there's so many different ways to make it. You know, you could smelt trillium, you could transmute ghost iron ore. You know, there's a lot of different ways. But like you said, after doing it for a while, I didn't need the spreadsheet anymore because I knew if living steel is X price, then I can buy, you know, say, for example, white and black trillium ore up to 15 gold and know that I'll still be making a price or making a profit off of it.
Exactly. So, I mean, the other one that jumps to mind is the mammoth mining bags, which is heavy Borean leather.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
48 Borean leathers.
6848. So I go in, I have a look at Borean leather, I have a look at the heavy Borean, and I do 6/8. Yeah, okay, that's going to cost me 60 gold. Okay, I'm selling them for 500.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'll have all of that. Thank you very much. And I just do the maths while I'm looking, you know, bump, 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 bump.
Yeah.
But that's my, if you like, my ability, my talent, I suppose. I can't sing and I can't dance, so hey.
I know some people do some very complicated spreadsheets. I've had people, you know, do posts on Power Word Gold. I know there's Exynthis or...
Eric's Ore Shuffler.
Ore Shuffler.
That's amazing.
Mithrildar has one that he's put out. You know, there's these really complex ones. For me, I tend to use spreadsheets a lot in my analysis posts where I'm going through and I'm recording down you know, just, you know, how many of this item I did, how many of this item I did, adding those together to kind of get an idea. Or even for, I've even started to get a little bit more into the visualization of numbers. For my last post, for the one about the item level jumps, I, you know, somebody already had said, oh, it complimented me. Oh, you know, the graphs look pretty cool and stuff. But, you know, and I had written back and said, well, they took an, I didn't say they took an ungodly amount of time, but I had the numbers fairly quickly, but it was a matter of going in and not just how the visual look of the graph was going to be, but then I actually made, say, I made like 10 different charts, and then I went back through and said, okay, well, which of these charts is going to give me the best visual condensation, or, you know, compressing of all of the information into one?
Yeah.
You know, then exporting those out and then continuing to refine those even a little bit more. But I think for me, the key for those type of things is to take a complicated subject and try to do some sort of visualization that will help people understand exactly what it is.
That's the biggest problem that I had with the Iron Paw token shuffle. I got everything in there that I wanted and it was working, but people didn't understand how my brain was working the numbers.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is because I've got it in my brain. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's like two versions of spreadsheets. There's the one I use, and then, oh no, I'm going to have to show this to the public. Okay, well now I'm going to have to highlight things, change the colors, add like descriptions. Your own spreadsheets, you know how they work, so you know, like, okay, this box and this box.
But I have the same at work. I've recently started a new job, and my boss's spreadsheets can be 20 tabs long, and she's got downloads out of our accounting system, and she's got imports and export sheets and color coded, and I'm like, and shorthand as well. We have a lot of we're a charity, and we get a lot of projects funding, and each project, the income and the expenditure has to be kept separate from everything else. So it's really complicated. We code everything. Everything has a code, like a project code, if you like. So if you buy something for a project, you give it that code. And if you sell something, then you give it the same code. And all the money goes in that pot. It's like having numbered piggy banks, you know? but she shorthands everything in her spreadsheets. And I'm like, just beginning to get my and then we have a company as well. So we have if you like, I guess you guys call it a corporation, a limited company, and a charity. So the charity does one type of work, but the limited company then provides a service which is linked to the charity, but it's a pay for service, so it's a business. And this money is flying around with all these projects and pots, and then between the charity and the company, and you've got to make sure everything's in the right places. Yeah. And her spreadsheets, well, if I put them on Google Docs, okay, I might get the sack for letting out confidential information, but nobody will understand a single word of it, so it wouldn't matter anyway.
And for anybody that's interested in spreadsheets, I've been moving away from using Google services, but drive.google.com, if you have a Google account, would let you create a new I think they call it, I don't know if they call it a spreadsheet, but anyways, yeah, it's, you can make a new spreadsheet there, type in some numbers, spend a little bit of time learning mathematic kind of notation as far as, like, you know, how to make two cells add up to each other or divide to each other. And
I'm trying to think which post it was. I think it was my leather conversion post, and which is in the middle of the Iron Paw conversions. I was doing a lot of spreadsheets at the time. And I used a VLOOKUP formula. And I actually went through in one of those posts and I explained how the VLOOKUP formula worked for those people who wanted to take their spreadsheeting a little bit further.
To the next level.
So look for my leather working post, and there's instructions in there. if you want to try that. Yeah.
If you also, if you don't have, if you want to download like a quote unquote real spreadsheet and you don't have, say, Microsoft Office, you can download OpenOffice.
Yeah, that's the one internet. I use.
That's the one. Yeah, that's the one I use too. So, yeah, there. I think that they're a good. It's a good tool to have. And the nice thing about a spreadsheet is that every spreadsheet, when you open it up, it's clean, fresh. It doesn't have anything in it, and you can just go ahead and start adding little things in.
For anyone who's worried about spreadsheets, you know, I would say, well, do you keep your numbers on scraps of paper? And a lot of people, like my mum, she knows exactly what her costs and her crafting costs would be if she was doing this. She knows exactly how to work it out on paper.
Mm-hmm.
What frightens her is, it's a spreadsheet. Uh-huh. Forget it. It's a blank piece of paper. It just happens to be pixels.
Yep.
And if you think of it like that, don't let it frighten you. And to be honest, I'm quite happy to take questions. I'll help if I can.
What's the email address that people can send you questions if they want?
Okay, there's an email on my blog, which is my email address is auctionhouseaddict, written out in full, all one word, @gmail.com. Or obviously on the blog, which is ahaddict.blogspot.com. I think there's an email button on the top right-hand side there somewhere.
Cool.
But I'll help, you know, if people have questions. I'm not an expert.
Yeah. I don't think I think with anybody, you just learn one little thing because you have one little problem, and now you know how to do that thing. And then you run into a wall, you Google how to do something, then you learn how to do that, and then you move on to that. And then for everybody out there listening, I'm going to give you some homework. Some spreadsheet homework. So I want you guys. I want you guys to go either to drive.google.com or OpenOffice or Microsoft Office, and I want you to build a spreadsheet that calculates the cost of converting 20 exotic leather into a magnificent hide. And I want you to have a section where you can put in your number of exotic leather from your auction house. So find the number. And then out the other side somewhere, I want you to calculate out how much the cost is going to be for crafting it. And then if you wanted to get extra tricky, you can have another section that has the price of magnificent hides from the auction house. And then somehow you got to figure out how to make those two numbers show you how much profit you're making if you made and sold a magnificent hide. That's pretty easy, don't you think? I think that would be good for people to figure it out. But you can do the first part if you want. Figure out the input is the price of one exotic leather, and on the output, you're going to have to see how much it's going to give you how much your crafting cost is for one magnificent hide, which is 20 exotic leather.
And can I just say, if you want to cheat, I did a leather conversion spreadsheet on Google Drive.
I'm trying to teach them. Feel free to send me your spreadsheets to powerwordgold@yahoo.com. We'll make a collection of my first spreadsheets. So
that would be fun.
All right. There's no wrong way to make a spreadsheet. You can always Google it. So, all right, Nev, I think we're going to wrap it up here.
Yeah, we probably should. I've got work in the morning. We're running a bit late, aren't we? We always do, though, Jim.
45 minutes talking before the show.
We always do, though, Jim.
We're right about on time, though. I'm happy. I'm happy.
Yeah? Good. I think we've covered everything we wanted to, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so. I want to thank you for coming on to the podcast this week.
Thank you for having me here.
Congratulations on your new endeavor with the podcast, or sorry, the Journal
of Marcus Tai podcast.
Actually, I'm going to kind of ask you right at the end here. You had mentioned that you listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to give out quickly just the names of like maybe three podcasts that you like listening to? They could be WoW related. They could be non-WoW related.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I listen to Eviscerated Gaming Podcast. Three very irreverent, naughty, swear a lot guys, but I usually end up giggling myself silly. Another favorite of mine is Torin Think Tank, which is Remgar and Jules. It's a little bit Dear Abby, sorting out the it's the human side of WoW. If you have like raid leader problems or guild management problems, you know, they'll try and help with some suggestions and stuff like that. I just like their atmosphere. Halfcast with Root and Freckleface. I love the way those two work together. And of course, Power Word Gold.
But
mustn't forget my Power Word Gold. I'm trying to think who else. Oh, and Bitter and Salty. Two very dry guys. Awesome. A bit more gold making in that one.
Oh, okay. Awesome. I didn't know about that one. Is it just got gold making every once in a while, or is it kind of a regular segment with
Molson,
them? Or?
Molson actually is quite a heavy duty gold maker. I think he possibly even had a blog before we did, Jim.
Oh. Okay.
And I first came across him. I hadn't heard of the podcast. I'd missed that completely, and I did a couple of posts, and my post came out the same day as their podcast did, and it was like great minds think alike, you know. And that happened like 2 or 3 weeks on the trot. My posts were mirroring what was on the podcast, and he was like, "Are you
in my head?
Are you in my head?" So I've been listening, and they do have a very very dry sense of humour.
Nice.
But their April Fool's one was fantastic.
I'll have to get
absolutely.
That up.
Yeah. You need to listen to the show for a while.
Uh-huh.
Listen to a few episodes first, and then go back and listen to the April Fool one.
Okay.
Because you need to know the guys and the show and some of their catchphrases and their mannerisms to really appreciate the April Fool one. But that was absolutely superb.
Awesome. All right, Nev. Do you want to let people know how they can find more from you?
Yes. Okay. I think we've mentioned it. I don't know how many times now, but it's my blog.
Short version.
My blog is ahaddict.blogspot.com. I have a second non-gold making one over at sherideshedragons.blogspot.com, and you can find me on Twitter, which is at nevahaddict, all one word. And now these days you can listen to me as well if you like what you're hearing over at www.wowgoldjournal.com/podcast, which is the website for the Journal of Marcus Tye podcast. Marcus is a lovely British gentleman. We've got a British money making, gold making podcast at long last.
Nice. And I am Jim Youngkin. You guys know me from Power Word Gold. You can find the blog at powerwordgold.net. We are on Twitter at Power Word Gold. You can find us on our live streams at twitch.tv/JimYoungkin. You can find us on youtube.com/powerwordgold and also facebook.com/powerwordgold, reddit.com/r/powerwordgold, and we're on, I might as well just keep going, but powerwordgold.tumblr.com. And if you want to email us, you can email us at powerwordgold@yahoo.com. And also, support the podcast, the blog, podcast, and live stream. Purchase one of our guides. Head over to powerwordgold to do that. So, all right.
Do you have all that written down on a bit of paper in front of you, Jim?
No, I've done it. I actually started numbering my live streams.
Uh-huh.
And I think it came out to about 370-something, and each one of those has about 2 to 3 of my reads for my for all of that. So I've had a lot of practice. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It's been fun, Jim.
Thank you,
Nev.
Thank
you very much.
And thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone. Bye.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
That's all right. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it.
It's always good to catch back up with you. So.
Yeah.
You're one of the good ones, my friend.
Oh.